Tunnel, brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. By Amity Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans. By Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are. And by MD Anderson, making cancer history. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Texans Huddle. Patty Smith alongside the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. Mark, unfortunately, we are sitting here talking about the seventh consecutive loss for the Houston Texans, a franchise high.
That's right, a franchise worst losing streak. And you thought the 2-14 2005 season was bad, or 6-10 in 2010. This is topping it right now, Patty. And guess what? You have seven games to go. The way things have been going, it feels like you have three or four games left, but you still have a big chunk of the season left, and bodies are dropping everywhere for the Houston Texans. They have to find out how to stay healthy enough to get through these next few games and maybe get on a little winning streak, see what happens, because after all, you have so much football to be played, and your head coach is back.
Yeah, well, let's start with the game in Phoenix. You know, a lot to talk about. We'll check out the highlights in just a minute. But overall, what went wrong? Clearly another tale of two halves.
Yeah, in the first half, you have a three-point lead at the break, and it could have been six if they connected on the field goal from 40 yards. In the second half, they lose Ryan Griffin on the opening kickoff, one of their starting tight ends right now, because they like to go two tight ends all the time. And without him, they had to bring Jake Byrne into the game, and they weren't able to run as much offense as they wanted to. They're already without Arian Foster and a banged-up Ben Tate. So really hampered on that side of the football, and they could not get it moving the way they wanted. Defensively, they started to break down in the second half. They did get the late turnover out of Watt and got the touchdown, but they ultimately couldn't move the ball. It was another second half where they couldn't score enough points.
All right, well, let's check it all out in this week's Texans Rewind.
Tough times for your Texans. Three of their top five players heading into the season are not playing. Two more key players are out, and the head coach is missing at least a game and a half. All this while Houston tries to avoid a franchise record losing streak today. Keenum will throw, first play of the game. There's pressure. Keenum, fumble. It's loose. It's picked up by the Cardinals. Shaughnessy runs into the end zone. Touchdown, Cardinals. Abraham with the strip, and Shaughnessy with the touchdown. Disaster on the first play of the game.
Case Keenum was unable to get his first NFL victory on Sunday, despite his second straight three-touchdown performance, two of which were to Andre Johnson.
Case fakes the give. Case with a lot of time. Now steps to his right, throws right side of the end zone, wants Andre Johnson, and he makes the catch for a Houston touchdown. What a grab!
Andre's, I mean, how terrific is he? I mean, the guy's, he can make fantastic plays. I mean, that's why he's going to be a Hall of Famer one of these days, because he's such a tremendous, tremendous competitor, not just, you know, not just ability, but he's a great competitor, and I'm glad we got him on our team.
For the second straight week, the Texans lost a lead at halftime and struggled to move the ball in the second half, accumulating just 41 yards.
We struggled offensively in the second half. You know, they did a good job of making adjustments, and, you know, we were put in some tough situations, but still, you know, we need to make sure that we do our job when it's crunch time, and, you know, the second half is obviously very important to every game, and so we fell short there.
Robert gets the snap. Watt knocks the ball out, and J.J. recovers the fumble. Strip sack by J.J. Watt, and he recovers in Arizona territory.
J.J. Watt forced two fumbles, recovering both of them for Houston. The second one setting up Johnson's HCC play of the week, go get it, it's yours, 5-yard touchdown catch that cut the lead to three with just 4:34 left to play.
Keenum gets the snap, throws left side of the end zone, wants Andre Johnson, and Andre has the catch. Is it a touchdown? And yes, Andre Johnson, an amazing catch left side of the end zone.
The Texans did get the ball back with just over 2 minutes left, but were unable to capitalize.
We put ourselves in this position, and there's no reason to sit around and whine about it. Nothing we can do about it now. You just have to look forward to the games ahead and try to win as many of them as you can.
It's obviously upsetting to all of us. Our team's going to stick together, I can tell you that. They're going to come back and work hard and try to do the right things to change it. So, you know, it's one of those years, evidently, that just haven't had a lot of good things go for us.
So 27-24, the final for the Arizona Cardinals, bringing the Houston Texans record at 2-2-7. We have to take our first time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. Mark and I will talk much more about that one, as well as look forward to the Oakland Raiders when we come back. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. A lot to get to with Mark Vandermeer here in this segment. But before we do that, let's wrap up this game in Phoenix. And I want to kind of pull out the most positive thing of all, and that is the continuing rapport, relationship, and great stuff that Andre Johnson and Case Keenum are putting together.
Well, think about this, Patty. You have Andre Johnson with 5 touchdown catches in 2 games with Case Keenum, the last 2. He had 4 touchdown catches all of last year and 6 in the last 2 seasons prior to this one. So he could set a career best if he keeps playing like this, and will, because his career high for touchdown receptions in a season is 9. So he's 4 away from that. That's just one of the things you look forward to in a season this bad. But what's good is Andre Johnson, at his age, still pulling down the rock in tough situations when they absolutely had to have a touchdown late. He came down with one. Patrick Peterson getting a hand on the ball, but Andre makes the reception. And the earlier catch was as good as it gets, flying across the end zone, right side, and gets both feet down for the reception. And Keenum just knowing that, hey, I've got a thoroughbred Hall of Fame wide receiver, why not use him? That was great. The other good thing, Patty, was J.J. Watt forcing 2 fumbles, the strip sack, and the late fumble off Rashard Mendenhall. That was phenomenal stuff. He just took matters into his own hands. Ultimately, though, they couldn't win.
And, Mark, after the game, comments were made by Ed Reed, which have snowballed into the news of the week, and we'll get to that. But he basically said that this team got outplayed, they got outcoached. Your thoughts on what he said and how it ultimately led to his release?
Well, I think this helped lead to his release, but really it's more about not being able to play football at an Ed Reed type of level. And not Ed Reed of 5 years ago, Patty, Ed Reed of last year. He could not get to that level, could not run the way he ran last year. The hip surgery, too much to overcome, wasn't making plays. If Ed Reed were making plays, he'd still be on this football team. So it's more about football than it was about those comments. My personal opinion on the comments is you don't criticize your employer publicly that way. Privately, make suggestions, criticize. Whatever. He's Ed Reed, is a Hall of Famer. His opinion should matter, I think, but not to the media after a real tough loss. And saying they got outcoached, by the way, your coach is back in Houston recovering from the mini stroke. The acting head coach, his father passed 3 weeks ago, and you're trying to win for him. You know, stay away from that with the media. That's my personal feeling. But again, this is a football decision first and foremost.
And, you know, do you think maybe it was sort of that they're just the straw that broke the camel's back?
Yeah, maybe, but they have to play young players right now. Look, in all likelihood, they're not going to be able to run the table and get a shot at the playoffs here. So you want to have a look at some of the young players who are going to be part of this thing, maybe, as you move forward into 2014. That plays into it, I believe. But also, just playmaking skills weren't there for Ed Reed. He was barely on the field at all against Arizona.
And then, of course, Arian Foster officially having surgery now on his back this week. He is out for the rest of the season. Sort of your thoughts on that. We saw it coming. We kind of knew it was coming. And then kind of the additions to the roster because of these 2 moves.
Yeah, and Ben Tate's been playing a lot with Arian Foster out. And this was no real surprise that Arian Foster was going to miss the rest of the season. You kind of felt it coming. Back injury, you knew it probably wasn't good. So they'll have to hope that he gets back to full strength for 2014. You go the rest of the way with Tate, Dennis Johnson. You hope that he's able to play at a higher level. He's looked okay, especially in the first game against the Colts, not as much against Arizona. You need good run blocking. We'll see if Deji Kareem gets more carries. I don't know how they're going to handle it on Sunday, but they need to handle it. This team needs to run the ball for this offense to be as effective as it could be.
Boy, Mark, have you ever seen, it seems like we've been talking about this for the last 2 or 3 weeks, just these odd things, but just what a season of strange circumstances.
Patty, there's enough to fill a novel, or at least a Lifetime movie of the week, perhaps. I mean, you look at everything that's happened to this football team with Matt Schaub and Gary Kubiak and all the injuries, and think about the most important players on this team coming into the season. Schaub, Arian, Cushing, Owen Daniels, they're all in the top 6, top 7. Well, those guys are out because Matt's not playing right now for various reasons, of course. But they've suffered some real brutal injuries. And there are other guys who are hurt well, like Daniel Manning and Kareem Jackson, who really play into you not being able to be as successful as you want.
And Gary Kubiak, it was great to see him back this week. He addressed us all today. Just looked like he almost had a different bounce in his step, kind of a piece. It was just not only good to see him back, but he looks a little refreshed.
You know, it's funny, Patty, because Rick Dennison, I was talking to him on Wednesday, and he said, hey, we got to get Gary Kubiak out of here soon, meaning his days are cut shorter. It's not full-time. I've seen the reports full-time. It's not full-time. Part-time doesn't sound good either, but he's coaching practice. He's just not allowed to stay until the wee hours like he normally does, and the coaches have to get him out. Otherwise, they're going to have to answer to Rhonda Kubiak, and nobody wants to do that, okay? She's going to be tough on them.
Yeah, well, the good news is, according to Gary, if all goes well with his schedule, which he does say he's having a hard time adjusting to cutting back those hours, he will be on the field Sunday against the Oakland Raiders. Great stuff, Mark. Thank you so much. We've taken our time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, I will visit with Brandon Brooks. Stay with us. Register for your chance to win Lunch with a Texan, which includes lunch in the Texans cafeteria with the Texans Community Player of the Year, food provided by Whataburger, and a tour of the Houston Texans team facilities. November's nominees are DeAndre Hopkins, nominated by Andre Johnson, Brooks Reed, selected by Antonio Smith, and Whitney Merciless, honored by Danielle Manning. Go to HoustonTexans.com for more details and to cast your vote. Welcome back to Texas Huddle. Joining me now, offensive lineman Brandon Brooks. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Let's kind of just talk a little bit about this season so far. Obviously, not where you anticipated it being at this juncture. You, a second-year guy. Just kind of talk about what it's been like for you and specifically offensively.
You know, for me, my first year, you know, we did really well. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, what I expected. And, you know, this year it didn't go the way we wanted to. And, you know, we're trying to right the ship. But at the same time, you know, there's always going to be ups and downs, no matter what you do. And, you know, as far as offensively, you know, we're all trying to get on the same page and, you know, get it rolling and keep it going.
How difficult has it been with kind of the turnstile of players going through, whether it's Arian going down, the change in quarterbacks, injuries on the offensive line, just sort of the change to kind of get into a rhythm and some continuity?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's football. You know, nothing's ever going to be as it seems. You know, you always have ups and downs, and, you know, with the guys, you know, being injured, obviously down, trying to get those guys back. And for the guys, you know, that are out, you know, for the rest of the season and stuff, I mean, you're just really trying to, like you said, gel with the guys that have in there. And, you know, I think we're doing a good job as far as gelling and getting the chemistry down with the guys we have in there.
Well, and just talk about your chemistry and gelling with just the offensive line itself, whether it's the left side, the right side, or you guys as an entire unit. Just sort of kind of grade yourself and where you think you're at this point.
As far as, like, the left side and the right side thing, you know, that's kind of been talked about, you know, ever since, you know, I came in and stuff like that. And we don't look at it as, you know, the left side and the right side. We look at it as, you know, the whole offensive line. And as far as the chemistry, you know, we started the chemistry back in training camp. And, you know, we had some bumps and bruises up front. You know, I missed a game. You know, Dwayne missed too. And, you know, we're all back now, and we're trying to, you know, keep the chemistry we have and keep it going forward.
Three games under his belt now has Case Keenum. Just give us your thoughts and a little scouting report, a little grade on kind of how it's been to be up there. Kind of, I know you, one of your main jobs is to protect this guy, but just what have you seen from him?
He's been very impressive. He's done a lot of good things. You know, he can move the pocket, you know, throw on the run, all that type of stuff. And even in the huddle, you know, him being a younger guy my age, you know, to see him in there, and, you know, he has some juice and some fire behind him, a little pepper on him when he's in there, and, you know, he really gets you going.
You know, we had a chance to sit down at the beginning of the season with Wade Smith, one of your fellow offensive linemen, and also, I don't know what he called himself, Captain Grand Poobah of the whole kangaroo court type thing, but we did a whole little feature, and he kind of told us about kind of how it all works with the offensive linemen. You get fined for different little things. Are you going to get fined? I think he told me, because he kind of regulates all this, that you may get a little fined for doing this interview with
him. Yeah, it's going to be a nice, hefty fine. He seen me when I was talking to Amy, actually, about doing this, and just gave me a little smile and to let me know it's going to cost me.
Yeah, yeah. And you're okay with that? That just goes with the territory. It's all in good fun. There's a nice trip, I know, at the end of the piggy bank waiting for everyone.
Yeah, it is definitely all in good fun. You know, everybody gets fined, and, you know, the pot we use, we, you know, take it to Vegas, and go. We always go as a group, you know, some team bonding. So, yeah.
How important is that? And I'm not just trying to kind of throw you a curve here, but, you know, when you see the things going on in Miami and when you know how you handle your business here as a unit, we've been talking about the camaraderie, but to have that both on and off the field for everyone to kind of be on the same page and gel like that.
I can speak, you know, offensive line-wise. You know, we're always together, on the field, obviously, but also off the field. You know, group texts, we're always including everybody in our group. You know, I think it's tremendously important as far as, you know, the camaraderie and chemistry that you have within your team and, you know, having the correct people in the leader position if something ever was to happen where, you know, say, you know, a young guy may not know what to do in a situation, but if you have an older guy who can take him, you know, under his wing and show him how to properly go about it, you know, I think that really helps.
Who's been that older guy for you that's taken you under his wing?
It's actually been three guys, and I know it sounds really repetitive, but it's been Wade, Chris, and Dwayne. When I came back from the off season, you know, I took it upon myself to, you know, do what I can do to get ready, you know, losing the weight and, you know, trying to work on my feet and all this other stuff. But at the same time, you know, Wade's been in the league 11 years, you know, Dwayne's been doing what, you know, playing offensive line at a high level for so long, and same thing with Chris, also with Wade too. But those guys taking me under their wing, you know, showing me, you know, what they're seeing on film, how they go about, you know, critiquing film, what are they thinking on this play and stuff like that. And I think it's really drastically helped my game.
Good deal. Well, as we look forward to the Oakland Raiders coming to Reliance Stadium on Sunday, you've had a little bit of chance to look at some film. Check out their defense. What's the biggest problems they pose for you guys?
You know, they all got great motors up front. You know, very penetrating defense. And, I mean, they, although, you know, their record may not show it, they do a lot of good things. They'll bring in the pressures or, you know, never stop working in the play. So, I mean, just for us, you know, got to keep doing what we're doing and just keep working. Keep working.
Well, great stuff. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
All right, we have to take a time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, Mark Vandermeer will be rejoining me, and we will check in with Mailbag. Stay with us.
Texans Huddle has been brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. By Amity Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans. By Texas Emergency Care Center, any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are. And by MD Anderson, making cancer history.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Mark, we've got the Oakland Raiders coming to town. One game better than the Houston Texans. Is this the time we get off the schneid?
I would think so, but I've said that before, Patty, so I don't know.
In fact, seven times straight, I think.
Yeah, well, not exactly. I knew some of these games would be tough. I thought last week was going to be a very tough game, and it was, and they came close to winning it, but they didn't. Now, the Raiders, the history between these two teams, Texans have had a lot of success, but remember, they lost here in 2011, that game where Matt Schaub and the team driving late. He threw for over 400 yards in that game. There was a late pick, ended the Texans' threat. You remember 08 when the Texans were trying to finish 9-7, and they went 5-1 down the stretch, but the one loss was to a bad Raiders team with Jamarcus Russell. My point is, weird things kind of happen in this series, so you hope nothing weird happens on Sunday, but the Texans are a better team. Even at 2-7, they're a better football team. Terrell Pryor, quarterback who's learning the ropes, upside down of the TD to interception ratio. He's mobile, but the Texans still do have an effective pass rush here, so they should be able to put the brakes on the Oakland offense enough for their offense to get some good things done. I don't see the Raiders being able to score in the second half on the Texans the way some of these other teams have.
All right, shall we do mailbag?
Let's do it.
Okay, brought to you by
the Texas Lottery. Play the Houston Texans scratch-off game. You could win a lot.
All right, our first question comes from Joel. He wants to know, at what point or will there be a point that this team sort of plays out the string?
Well, and by playing out the string, I would imagine Joel's talking about playing the young guys. Guess what, Joel? They are already. They have to because everybody's hurt. You're playing Case Keenum at quarterback, okay? You signed Jawanza Starling to the active roster this week, a guy who was in training camp, and there are numerous other players like that. Josh Victorian, another player with Mike Muhammad at linebacker. I mean, these guys are getting guts of the game snaps for you because you're so banged up right now, so you really have no choice. If you're asking if you're going to sit down J.J. Watt, try doing that. There's no way he'll let you. So they're going to play guns blaze and try to win every possible game because that's the way the coaches and the organization want to handle it.
And speaking of coaches, Bethany would like to know your thoughts on the future of this Houston Texans coaching staff.
Wow. Well, Bethany, I got to tell you, this coaching staff, they have seven games left. So that's how they look at it. I know that's how Mr. McNair looks at it. What if they run the table? I know it's a long shot, but what if? Or what if they go 6-1? You don't know exactly what things are going to look like at the end of the campaign. They look extremely bleak right now. So I don't think that Mr. McNair, Rick Smith, anybody evaluates those things right now. They wait till all the hay is in the barn, so to speak.
And finally, Roger wants to know, is Case Keenum officially the quarterback the rest of the way?
You know, Gary Kubiak would not commit to that this week, that Case would be the starter no matter what the rest of the way. And I think a big reason for that is, look, what if he starts playing badly or he gets hurt? Well, obviously injury is going to dictate another player. But what if he starts playing badly or whatever? Matt Schaub's been practicing hard. They're not winning. As good as Case has looked, they're 0-3. But I think they want to get a nice long look at Case Keenum. It's not like they're ready to, you know, pull him off stage or anything like that. They want to see him remain up there as the starter and see exactly what he brings to the table and see how it goes. Ultimately, though, they want to win football games, and they'll do whatever it takes.
We all want that ultimately, don't
yes,
we?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. This
Maybe
is our we'll week.
Ultimately have it on Sunday. Let's see what happens.
All right. Well, start your day out on Sunday right here on Fox Sports Southwest. 10 a.m. Texans Countdown Live. Mark will be out there with me on the Bud Plaza counting down 1 hour live to the kickoff against the Oakland Raiders. And then be sure to flip back over to Fox Sports Southwest and watch Texans Wrap Live, where we will hopefully be wrapping up a big victory.
Yes, please.
Have a great weekend.